All right, Michelle. Well, this is the West Coast Project podcast for The Affair. It's the last one. There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. And it grows and it grows and it feeds me like it's never fed me before. What the hell are you going to do all winter?
I don't know. I got to find something, though, right?
Today's the first day of winter, too.
I know. Longest, darkest day of the year. I don't know. We got to do something. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
Chill out.
All right, Michelle. So 212. We made it through The Affair. And I actually really liked this episode because I think it gave the whole series new life.
Really? Okay, tell me why.
Yeah, I think they were very smart in what they did, and they made it interesting, and they brought it in for a really cool landing, and they gave it kind of an interesting twist for next year.
I thought so, too. I thought that I completely agree. They've given us a new direction in the story, and I really did like that. I'm a little frustrated with some of the things that they expect us to buy, you know, like some of the coincidence that they expect us to buy.
You're always frustrated.
I guess, yeah. It might just be my mood.
So did you see that before this episode aired, like right before it aired, Sarah Treem was tweeting out the clues to how it ends. And she said it episode 5 of season 1, there were clues to how it ends in episode 4 of this season. Hints from Noah about how it all ends.
No, did you go back and watch it?
Well, I didn't watch them all, but I think the hint from season 1, episode 5 was Noah said, "How do we know it wasn't just an accident? This thing with Scotty, how do we know it wasn't an accident?" And I don't know what he said in episode 4 of this season, but he literally said that in first season.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and I was, I don't know, I don't think I was surprised that it was an accident. I always kind of assumed that it wasn't somebody just deliberately doing it. I don't know.
Well, we were both totally wrong about our guesses, who did it.
Every guess I ever had was completely off the mark.
Well, we never would have guessed dual murderers either.
No, and all three of them. And how did we end up so cozy there at the end anyway, with everybody just hanging out together?
What do you mean all three of them?
Noah and Allison and Helen.
Well, Noah wasn't a murderer.
Well, kind of. I mean, he had, you know, some culpability, right?
No.
Because, well, he's the one that made Helen drive when Helen didn't want to drive.
That doesn't make him the murderer.
Yeah.
Helen was the accidental murderer.
I wouldn't even call it a murderer. I wouldn't say it was Allison's fault. I would say it was no one's fault but Scotty's.
Well, that is one part that I didn't like, is that if they just wanted to, they could have just told the truth and gotten out of it. Although Helen would have been in pretty big trouble because she was drinking and got in an accident that killed someone. That would not have been good for her.
Right,
and maybe still may not be good for her.
If they were going to lie, couldn't Noah have said he was the one driving?
Yeah.
If he just wanted to take that off of Helen? I mean, I'm sure that you would maybe still, I'm not sure, but I would think that you could still maybe be charged with some type of vehicular homicide or something if you were intoxicated. But see, Noah was intoxicated, plus he had taken that Xanax that Margaret
gave him. He would have been in a lot of trouble, too.
Yeah.
There's no easy way out of it.
But doesn't seem like it would be this murder conviction that they're going for.
Murder. All right, we'll get to it at the end, I guess.
Okay. All right, Michelle.
So it's kind of circle of life. Noah was drunk on the beach with Helen, then Allison was on the beach with Cole.
Yep.
But I still think they nailed it. I really think this episode was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too.
Just when I could write this whole thing off and I thought I could escape this whole mess, they brought me back in.
yep.
And he pretty brilliantly managed to extend it into like a whole nother season. And everything's kind of plausible. I don't know. We should have known the murder was somebody major, though. Not murderer, but the. I don't even know what do we call him? The persons responsible.
Yeah.
We should have known it wasn't Louisa and it wasn't freaking Oscar.
I don't know. I mean, I think that. Well, I don't know though. They could have taken it in a lot of different directions, but I did think that the direction that they took it in, I don't love it. I think it asks us to buy a whole lot, but I do love the whole story around it. So.
All right. Well, there was a lot of drama and immaturity too in this. So. And kind of some false promises too, like Noah would have gone back to Helen, but Allison trapped him. I mean, he showed a little bit of his creepy side there. And then also the parts that weren't too cool, like all the drinking and the pursuit, all this pursuit of instant gratification. Like Noah always wants it all. He always, everywhere, every episode wants it all. And then he's kind of afraid of being alone. I think that's his biggest fear is just being alone, stuck alone.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it like that, but I think you're right.
That's what I'm afraid of. I think it's a human, pretty basic human feeling.
Of what?
Of being alone, of being left alone, of being alone in the world.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would agree. I think that's normal.
All right, Michelle, well, part one is Noah.
Yep.
And Allison gives Noah congratulations on his success. That seems super impersonal.
Yeah, everything about how she was with him seemed impersonal in both of their, well, not everything, but a lot of what their interactions seemed impersonal in both of their stories.
But don't you just think congratulations between two intimate partners is an impersonal accolade? It's an impersonal communication. You say congratulations to a third person, right?
I mean, you know, if she had ran up and grabbed him around the neck and, you know, gave him a big hug and a kiss and said, congratulations, I'm so happy. That's different, I think, maybe. But certainly the way she did it, I agree. It was like, almost like they weren't even, you know, like intimate with one another or something.
Well, I know she was impersonal to Noah, but I'm saying in life, when you say congratulations to somebody, it's not as personal as saying, dude, you rocked it or you killed it or I always believed you could do it. Saying the word congratulations is a formality that that intimate people don't share with each other. It's they find a more personal way of expressing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I don't know. It could be that some people do that, but, you know, I do agree with you. It seems very formal, like a formal way of being with somebody.
It's third person. It's like, oh, well, congratulations on that award, Charles. You know, it's not a personal thing. All right, we see Walking Dead Margaret. Man, she's looking wrinkly and older and zombier than ever.
Oh, my gosh.
She is. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think Margaret's beautiful.
Oh, Jesus.
I do.
Better get those eyes checked.
Well, I do. I think she's beautiful. I think she's, you know, people that age are beautiful, and she's beautiful, too. And she's sweet. Look at how she's, I mean, you know, except for slipping the illicit medication to Noah. I mean, she's sweet.
She's giving him Xanax. I think she's trying to find some compadres. You know, she's trying to be friendly to Noah. She hated Noah one episode ago?
Yeah, and for how long? For 20 years. You know, she's hated him for a long time. See, I would have liked to have seen more about the story of how they all come together. And I know there wasn't time because it was the end of the season and there was bigger fish to fry. But I don't know. I would have kind of liked to seen what brought Margaret around and how Helen and Margaret started talking again, because we just heard a couple episodes back that they weren't, that Helen hadn't even spoken to her.
I think Margaret's probably looking for allies too. She's lost her partner. Why not? It's better to, you know, who needs enemies, right? It's better to have friends.
But Louisa and Allison, I mean, everybody's just kind of hanging out. And I still don't think I figured out why Noah came to the wedding.
I don't know. There's a couple questions I have about that, too.
Okay.
Okay, so Allison, so Margaret wants to see pictures of Joni, and Noah shows the movie. And Allison doesn't like this. She kind of walks up, interrupts everything, and they leave. Helen and Margaret leave. And Allison doesn't like the video of Joni. She's like, oh, whatever, turn that off. Or she's not like, oh, that's so cute that you have that.
And right.
It's probably a new video to her, too, because it's Noah and Joni, and Allison's been out on Montauk.
Sure. We saw that a couple times when Noah pulled up and Allison was out on the boat, and he said, Joni misses her mommy, you know, and she goes, well, yeah, you know, and then she's like, I miss her too, you know. So we know that Allison hadn't been around Joni, and I mean, this is her baby, so that was kind of weird. And then, but with the video, I felt like she was looking at Noah, and I think just the fact that Joni didn't belong to Noah, I think, was just eating at her. So everything about the baby and Noah was just kind of really eating at her.
Did Noah win you over a little bit more in this episode, Michelle?
I don't know. No, I don't know if he can, but I, yeah, maybe a little. Maybe a little.
All right. Well, Allison says she apologizes about the summer. Sorry leaving you alone so much. I've been working really hard. I'm congratulations on your book. Yeah. And they make Noah look really good, or pretty good here at least. He encourages her, like, it's okay. You were working hard on this, getting this restaurant going. Michelle, where in here does Jeffries find the rock? Is that later than this, before this?
I'm kind of lost. At the very, very beginning, okay. Before it even showed the part one, we're in, you know, the present time, and you can tell by, like, the sepia scene or whatever that scene is, and that's where he's just walking by that rowboat planner thing, and he goes out there, and he finds the rock. And that was before we even got into anything.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know where it was. So
And wasn't that a little coincidental, too?
No, I also got more to say about that rock when we get to it.
Okay.
When we get to the part where she's looking at the rocks.
Okay.
But there's a wedding on the beach, Cole and Louisa. Noah and Allison look all maudlin, no joy. There's no celebration at all to them being at this wedding. Noah's smirking, and Allison just cries and runs away while they're sitting watching the wedding. And I put here that Noah has to be thinking, what the hell did I get myself into? I left my family, I found this woman, and now she's running away crying because this guy's getting married. He thinks she's crying because he's getting married again, which is a
bad... Well, you would think, right?
Well, I mean, what else maybe, but that's not a very healthy... If he thinks she's capable of that, that's not very healthy, I don't think, for their relationship.
Well, I mean, whatever reason she's running away crying would seem like an unhealthy thing, right? I mean, he's been gone for how long, and he's been watching their baby while he writes, and she's out there doing this. She didn't... When he was talking about going to France and all that, she says she'll have Gigi and Joni come there. I mean, why wouldn't she have Gigi and Joni come there while she was there then? I don't know.
In Montauk, you mean?
Sure.
Well, because Noah's not in Montauk. Maybe he thought she was only going to be there. And I kind of think that's what their plan was. She's going to be there a short time, get the restaurant set up, and come back to wherever in New York they are.
Right, she was going to be there. The the plan was for her to be there through Labor Day, I think, and then for her to come back and be a silent partner. At least that was, you know, Noah's idea of it. But, you know, Allison has some different ideas. Do you think she's just kind of over Noah? Or do you think she just found this and she wants to do it and keep Noah?
I don't know. I think this show is just making her look troubled, like she didn't have the ability to tell him this great big secret, so she was troubled and hurting from it. And
sure.
And at the end, it looked like she was wanting to be with him. But she's troubled, you know? She is. I don't think she is crying because of Cole at all. I think it is because of the secret she has. So he goes to her, and she tells him she's crying because of this baby not being his baby. And Noah's a real prince here. I was about to talk about how great he is, but, and I guess you partly can't even blame him because it's a pretty big shocking piece of news. But geez, the whole "don't take this wrong, but I never want to see you again." I mean, it's pretty snarky. And it's also pretty immature.
Yeah.
Right. To be sarcastic like that.
Yeah, he was. I mean, not only that, but he distrusted it. But I mean, I'm not sure that you wouldn't, though, right? He distrusted everything. How long have you been sleeping with Cole? And she's like, "I haven't." And now this is his version of it, but she's like begging him to believe her and to forgive her and all this kind of stuff. And he's just, he's harsh. I'm not sure that, I don't know though, because I mean, how would you respond to something?
Well, but he's
like
a pot calling the kettle black too. Like, "I never cheated on you." He was going to cheat on her every chance he could get with this, with Eden and whatever, Whitney, the faux Whitney hot tub thing. I don't know. He's kind of a hypocrite.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't loyal to her, whether or not he physically cheated or not. He certainly wasn't loyal in any way. But I don't know what he said. Do you think he believed what he said at the end? Because he was talking about that it was so hard and that he had hurt people that he really loves, but he never thought that it would just be pointless. You know, he said that he thought their getting together was, you know, kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but like destiny, and that she was his one true love and all this kind of stuff. And it turns out that it was just pointless. I mean,
yeah,
that's
he's a drama queen, and he needs somebody to protect him from being alone. Yeah, that's what he says. He describes love as pointless. Decisions are meaninglessly important. And he says important with like sarcasm. He's just being a little bitch. And then he goes and pours a giganto drink in a goblet, some huge goblet of whiskey. The funny part was Helen sees him. She's like, "What the fuck?"
I know. Well, that I mean, was... come on, because he's like, that was like, he like turned it up. He's like guzzling like you would guzzle water after a, you know, 5K or I don't know. It was crazy.
Like you would guzzle whiskey after a girlfriend.
Well, no. No comment.
So Helen drags him off to the beach with more. She exchanges the whiskey for champagne. She's drinking out of the bottle. Pretty funny. Pretty funny good friend. Like, "I'm going to protect you from hurting yourself by killing yourself with alcohol, but let's grab this bottle of champagne."
I thought she handled him really well, though, didn't you? Because, I mean, he was really freaking out in there. And she was like, "Come on." I mean, he was like screamed at her. He like really made a scene. And she's like, "Come on." Why was Helen there?
I have no idea. Why was Helen at Cole and Luis's wedding? She was Margaret's date. But why was Margaret there?
Well, Margaret was there because it was her housekeeper, maybe.
It's all kind of goofy.
I don't want to change your whole opinion of it. And, you know, I'm probably definitely coming at it a little bit from a negative standpoint, but I just have so many questions, not about the storyline. I love the storyline, but about just all these little things that they throw in like that. I don't really understand why Helen would have been there. I'm not 100% sure why Noah had to come, or even Allison.
Well, it's Allison's place, so that's why she's there, and that's probably why Noah's there, just because he's coming out to see her at the lobster roll.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, I mean, I can buy it, but I just don't.
Yeah, to sit at the wedding is kind of goofy for Noah to do that. I mean, right. You come out to Montauk and you go to your apartment and you just watch football or something. You don't go to the freaking wedding. That's I don't know why he
would be out there on the sand watching them. And there was just several little things like that that just kind of made me go, well, why? You know, why would it be like that? You did notice that Allison was in Oscar's apartment, right? Oscar's old apartment.
Oh, I didn't know that was Oscar's old apartment. Yeah, was that Allison's first yellow dress that they first saw her in? Or was it just another yellow dress?
I don't know. That's a good question, because the yellow dress did seem really prominent. I don't know.
Yeah, because he said, is that new? And she says, like, oh, no, that's old. That's from episode one, baby. No, she didn't say that.
All the way back.
From Noah says he never wanted Joni. He admits that to Helen. And he says it was a trap to trap him by Allison. So that was kind of crappy. Him to say.
Yeah, so he couldn't go back to Helen, and she asked if he ever thought of that, and he said he thought about it all the time. So what was that conversation? Well,
there's a lot of chemistry still between Helen and Noah. They're flirting, they're reminiscing. There's a lot of chemistry happening here.
Yep.
He's lonely. Like, we already talked about this. He's lonely, longing for companionship. He's just lost. And, you know, Helen and Vic are a joke. You can tell she's not into this guy. He's asking her about Vic, and she's like, well, I don't know. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't know what he's doing. He wants me to go somewhere and do something. I don't care. I don't know. She has no idea what the hell he's doing and what any interest in what he's doing.
I don't know. Maybe she just can't make up her mind because she doesn't have anything. I don't know. See, Noah keeps giving her these... and he keeps like leading her on a little bit, right? Or a lot.
I think he feels it. I think he's afraid of being lonely, and she's connecting to him, and he's like soaking it up.
Well, Mike, he might feel it. I'm not saying he doesn't. I mean, he does obviously feel it, but it's keeping her from moving on in her life with him doing that, right?
That's her problem.
Okay.
She's totally half-hearted about this Vic Joker, though.
But maybe because she keeps getting these signals from Noah. And so, you know, it's hard to go on with something else when you haven't closed that door sometimes, right?
Well, he definitely does not shut the door and seal it shut, for sure.
No.
So Noah says, I thought we'd be better at this by now. Michelle, we never get better at this. This is something we never get better at.
No, and I think the only time that you think you will is when you're young and stupid, right? Because, you know, it's just like the girls, they'll say stuff all the time. They're, you know, young, and they'll say stuff, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't change. You don't feel different when you get older. It's just you still have the same questions. You have some of the answers, but usually only enough answers to create more questions.
It's just longing. It's just, I mean, you get your heart broken when you're a sophomore in high school, and you like get older when you're 38, and you think, oh, I'm glad I'm not stupid and romantic like I was in high school. But you're not. You are romantic and stupid like you were in high school. It's always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Helen makes the Here to Eternity run into the ocean, and man, she looks damn good in those black undies. I got to give credit for that.
Yes, she does.
Maura Tierney is how old? Probably 45.
I think she's older than that.
She looked good.
Yep, she did.
So Michelle, they swim into the night. They run into the water when it's like bright sunshine, and they come out of the water and it's like nighttime.
I know. Yeah, they got some stamina, don't they?
So they decide to drive and drop one another off. Noah's going to drop her off, I guess, at something at her mom's house or somewhere, and he's going to go home.
Right.
And they hop in the car, and she plays around with the radio, and she finds Chris Isaak's San Francisco Days as they drive. Michelle, do you like this song?
I did not know the song. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever heard the song. I can't believe it, but yeah, I don't know.
But I don't care for that song too much, but my Maura, call her Maura. Helen likes it. Helen likes it a lot. She starts singing it.
Well, I like Chris Isaak. And by the way, she's 50. Her birthday is February 3rd, 1965.
Well, so. She's still a babe.
Yep,
I sure mean, she is. Looks good in her underwear at 50. That's pretty damn good.
She looks great.
So Noah goes through a series of, like, I guess, what are they? Audio flashbacks, memories?
I'm not sure what went on with him.
Is he drunk? Just drunk?
Drunk and on a Xanax, but I don't know. That was almost like, remember when he was driving and he did that before and he had to, like, pull off the road because he was hearing stuff? Or no, because he thought he saw Allison in the middle of the road, remember, and he gunned it?
Right, when he's by himself.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what's going on with him about that, because that's kind of nuts, right?
Well, he's haunted by something. He just stops, turns the wheel over to Helen and says, I'm drunker than I thought. You got to drive.
Right.
And, of course, it gets foggier.
Right.
Foggier and more sinister outside.
Yeah, and it was all exactly as he had written in his book, exactly as he had seen in his mind. Remember, in the book, he's shown it 100 times. He's driving past that boat, that planter rowboat thing, and that's where he hit Allison in his book. And now, I think that's kind of what triggered whatever was going on with him, was that he was driving and he passed that rowboat thing and it's foggy and you got all that same kind of scenario that he had written about previously. That would scare me to death. I would be like, I mean, I would, you know, I wouldn't want to drive either if a horrible incident that I'd written about in a book were coming to fruition right in front of my life, right?
Well, I think he wrote it because he's seen it a bunch of times. He's driven past there a bunch of times.
Sure.
And so sure. It's his route.
But I don't know, with the fog and the nighttime, and I don't know.
That's probably how it is at night, though. It's foggy. It's, you know, it's, he's remembering what he's seen a bunch of times. That's what he wrote about, and that's how it is when you actually get out there.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So Helen's driving, and Noah touches her hand or grabs her hand, and Scotty becomes a deer in the headlights, Michelle. Ugh. And the grill, I guess. He gets run over.
That was violent.
And Noah pops out to investigate because Helen insists it really was a deer. And did you see Noah seeing the ghostly Allison in the bushes?
I saw Noah seeing something, but I didn't know what he saw. I never could figure out what he saw.
Me too. I just saw a person, but you couldn't tell who or what it was.
Right.
I think that was the point. So he takes control. This is where I started to like Noah. He takes control. He takes over. He drives Helen back to her mother's, gives her instructions to forget, just cover up. And I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you get out of this, which made Noah look pretty good, I think. I mean, he's covering up a crime, but that's not good. But it's to protect Helen. That's pretty cool of him, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's not doing the right thing, but he is trying to take this off of Helen. Do you think he was trying to do that because he felt bad that he had asked her to drive?
No, I think he's trying to protect Helen.
Okay.
I give him a lot of credit here that I'm about to yank away. So Helen tells him, I love you, because she senses too, like, oh, you're doing this for me. You care about me. You're trying to protect me instead of just jumping out of it and leaving me to hold the bag. You're trying to cover it up.
But he doesn't say a word.
It's kind of funny that I thought Noah might turn out to be the ultimate hero by protecting Helen. And I actually typed this at this point in my notes, that he might be the dark hero here. He might actually be a hero by, you know, not doing something on the total up and up, but it's a nice thing to do for Helen. He's kind of a dark hero. And that Cole may actually be despicable. We see Cole kind of switch. You know, we kind of are encouraged to think of Cole negatively pretty soon.
I've thought about Cole negatively on more than one occasion anyway, from the stuff he said and done. But yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. But then I just kind of turn back around, you know, and I say, it's kind of like what you called Noah a drama queen. And this whole thing would have been better off. Everybody, there's a man dead, and not just a man, but I mean, you know, in a small community and a well-known man, and he's dead. And they're going to do their best to get to the bottom of that. I mean, it's not like it was a deer or anything. I mean, something's going to come of that. And why on earth would Noah make that call? Why not do the right thing there? Does he just want this drama in his life?
He definitely pulled a Peggy Bloomquist.
Yeah, he did. Right. I mean,
I don't know. People might do that under pressure. They might accelerate their problem thinking irrationally in the moment, when if you spread it all out in front of you and take a deep breath and think about it, you know, you call the police, you say, hey, you know, this guy was in the middle of the fog in the road. I don't know. I think cutting your losses at the start is the best.
Absolutely. Of course it would be. And I mean, you know, even if nothing else, they drive to Helen's house and they go in there and they make the call together. Hey, we hit something driving her home. I'm not sure what it was. I didn't want to get out on the road because I didn't feel like it was safe. But, you know, whatever. I mean, and that's not a good idea either, I don't guess. But, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like that if they had just said it.
Well, they don't know Scotty's dead either. Noah went and looked at him. But what if he's still got a chance of surviving?
Well, right? And I don't know. And why even drive, right? There's a taxi service in town. Why even drive if you're both messed up?
Well, they were shut down that night because Cole's getting married.
Oh, okay.
All right. So anyway, I had this weird flip-flop of Noah being the dark hero and Cole maybe being the evil one. And we go at the end of this part one to the lawyer, and Noah finds from the lawyer, Gottlieb, that he's not the father. He finds for the second time. He's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And the rocks are in evidence. Now, Jeffries have put these rocks into evidence, the stone with the names on them.
Yep.
But I don't think the stones are very strong evidence, Michelle, and I think we'll get to this at the end of part two here. But Gottlieb admits he thought Scotty was the father. And then he found that wasn't true, so he figured out that maybe, well, Scotty's going to blackmail Cole, and so Allison would wipe him out because of that. And so he's got a pretty good reason to think Allison might want to kill Scotty, and then that would get Noah off the hook. He's trying to do anything he can to get Noah off the hook.
Right, which is his job. But at this point, I mean, this is Noah's attorney. Why wouldn't Noah tell him what happened? And then let him work within that.
Well, he's protecting Helen. I mean, but Noah probably thinks, let's hope that everybody thinks that, you know, somebody else did it. Right? He's covering up the car.
Even if he said he drove, even if he wanted to protect Helen and say he drove, but I don't know. I mean, I thought, and maybe, look, I'm naive, certainly, but I thought you told your attorney the truth.
No, maybe he doesn't want to. I mean, maybe he thinks he's hoping that somebody else. Everybody thinks somebody else came along and ran over Scotty. It wasn't Helen. It wasn't him. It wasn't Allison. It was just somebody else. You know, we were never there. Like he's getting the car fixed on the sly, which is hinky too. I don't think you could actually do that in a small town.
I don't know if you could do it anywhere.
But Gottlieb's plan is to put Jeffries on the stand, and that's his Hail Mary to get Noah off the hook. It's his last. Right. It's a pretty desperate move because he's telling Noah, it's not looking good for you, dude. I've been in a lot of trials, and this does not look like it's going your way.
Yeah, they haven't shown us a lot of the trial, right? I mean, we did hear from Max last time and Cole, but they haven't really shown us anything other than that. But yeah, Gottlieb says it's not going well, and you got to believe him. But, you know, I mean, I don't know.
All right, Michelle, part two, Allison. Now, she's making crab negotiations or lobsters.
She is. I thought it was crab, but, you know.
When you hear soft shell, you think crab. But they looked like lobsters.
Right.
So who the hell knows?
I'm not big on shellfish.
Noah Caesar from across the way, and the boat guy says, who's the douche in the beamer?
Yeah.
Douchebag in the beamer. And Noah and Allison talk.
Oh, that's good. Noah Wilson. And did you notice that in his version, she had on like little, you know, kind of skimpier clothing, and she was out there, and the guy was kind of flirting with her, putting the crab or the lobster, like you said, the lobster in her face and like playing and all this kind of stuff. And in her version, it was completely different. She was like utilitarian. That's not the right word. But anyway, dressed. And I don't know. It's very different.
Well, Noah and Allison talk, and she's stretching out her stay in Montauk longer and longer. And this is her point of view, so we see that she's actually feeling pretty guilty for this. She's not confident about how she tells him this. She's kind of looking down and kind of having a hard time telling him that she's going to stay longer and open the lobster roll longer into the season.
Yeah, and she's going to be there running it when it's open. She likes it. She wants to stay. And that's not what he had agreed to.
She's not the third-party owner. She's like the owner-operator, manager, waitress, everything person. Mic check person, even.
She was the... Yeah.
So Noah leaves angrily again, just like in his point of view. And Allison does the mic check, the sound check. Check, check. And... Marco Polo.
Yeah.
And Cole comes to flirt with her, kind of the flip flop of Noah and Helen. It's Cole and Allison.
Yep.
Now, Michelle, Cole and Allison are on the beach, and Cole is itchy and Scotty's itchy. What's with this Lockhart itchiness?
Well, I think Scotty's itchy because of drugs, right? I think Cole's just got cold feet. I was with Allison on that.
It's got cold feet.
Michelle,
who is more attractive on the beach, Helen or Allison?
You know, Allison looked really, really pretty in this episode. I noticed it on more than one occasion, and it wasn't in just one point of view or the other. She was, you know, dressed nicer and everything in Noah's point of view. But that dress, I mean, it was like perfect and everything. And it wasn't the same dress in her point of view, the yellow dress. But to answer your question, I mean, you know, despite the fact of what has come down, I mean, you know, I like Helen. And I like the way she handled Noah.
Ruth West has to be 10, 12, 15 years younger than Maura Tierney.
Sure.
I guess. So she looks younger, but I think Helen looked really pretty good in this one.
And I don't think they necessarily try to make Helen look real pretty. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
I don't think they make Allison look very pretty either.
I think sometimes they do. I think sometimes they make Allison look stunning. But with Helen, they frequently have her like pale, and when she was in the car with Noah, I mean, she like has she's pale. It didn't even look like she had any makeup on or anything, and I don't know. Allison is supposed to be like the, you know, the, I don't know what's the word, the sex girl, you know. Yes. And so I think they show her like that a lot of times. And Helen, I think they don't. But Helen is, she's just,
well, she Maura is Tierney's inspiring. More of a classic beauty. And Ruth West is kind of a quirky, odd, she's oddly pretty. But she's not as beautiful as Maura Tierney. Maura Tierney just has better face structure, and she's just more classical beauty to her. And Ruth is just more, she's kind of quirky looking. She has a funny kind of, she has an overbite, and she's pretty, but she's not like, I don't know, Elizabeth Taylor-ish, which is more what Maura Tierney looks like, I think.
Yeah, she is. I actually completely agree with you. She is really, really pretty in a very unique kind of way, not so much in the stereotypical way as Maura Tierney is. And by the way, she is only 33, and she has a birthday coming up on January 13th. She was born in, you want to hear this, 1982. So,
well, we all got birthdays coming up. Mine's in October.
Yeah.
All right. So, Cole's bitching about Louisa now to Allison. I mean, what is this? It's like these wimpy ass complaining guys and their women, like bolstering them up, or their ex women. Cole's criticizing Louisa. She's all affected by emotions and cycles of the moon. And Allison kind of takes the high road and defends her. It's only a couple days a month, you know. She's just human. Don't be picking on her.
Yeah, yeah. And she kind of pointed out a real good truth to him too about you could spend the next 10 or 15 years trying to find somebody to give you the perfect child or whatever, but you know you can be happy now. Because he says he does love her, but yeah, he was saying her family wants my time and whatever, and they're going to want to spend time with. He was really doing some kind of, I don't know if he's just venting or if it was like real complaining that was inappropriate considering who he was talking to, maybe.
Well, there's a lot of irony here, Michelle, because Cole's bitching that Louisa can't have children and he really wants children. Ironically, Allison has his child, and I don't think he knows that that's his child yet.
No, he doesn't. He still doesn't know.
He wants the child that she probably knows is his, and he's complaining that he'll never be a father again because he's connected to Louisa. And on the other hand, Noah, he
doesn't want Joni.
He wants a solo trip to run around and be the wild, you know, writer bon vivant in France.
Yeah, but not in this episode, see, and they didn't show that change either. Last episode with the Miranda therapist, he was different. He was saying how he wanted to go alone. He wanted to have sex with who he wanted to, and he wanted to take a couple years and write a book and be by himself and all that kind of stuff. And then this episode, and they didn't show anything that changed that specifically, he wants to marry Allison, and he wants to have a family with her. He wants to take her to France with him, and Joni's portable too, and she can come. And I kind of wish they had shown us some of that. The details interest me, and I would like to know how they all ended up there together, and I would like to know what changed Noah's mind from how he was in the last episode to this episode.
All right, well, Noah's got some interesting things at the end here that are kind of hard to figure out. But I liked Allison supporting Louisa in front of Cole. Made me believe that she really is happy for Cole, and she's not crying that he's running off with Louisa and she's never going to be with him again. She is kind of happy for them.
But good grief, Mike. Tell him. She has to tell him. What is she thinking? You can't have a baby with somebody and not tell him.
Well, yeah, that obviously.
And she's working with him. So like, he's never going to meet the baby.
They made all the sympathetic characters kind of evil and all the creepy evil characters kind of sympathetic. It was a pretty flippy floppy thing that they did.
Yeah.
Allison asks Cole if he loves her. And he says, yeah, sure I do. Just like I'm sure I am in love with her. Just like I was sure I was in love with you. And then she does this I didn't like. She blames it on their youth. You know,
I didn't either.
It wasn't that long ago, right? There was all, this is your chance to be happy again. Take it. You know, you were young. You're a man now. This was all like within, what, 2 or 3 years?
Well, I mean, I think it was longer than that because her son was like, what, 4 when he died. So they had maybe been married a couple years before that. But this is all within, you know, we're going to guess like 10 years, right? It wasn't like a ton of time. And it's not like they're they're 60, and she's saying that to him, right? Well, we were young. We were 18. I mean, you know, it was just... And I don't think you can say that anyway. They were dealt a bad hand. They were dealt a rough, rough blow. But I didn't like it either.
So the next scene is kind of interesting. Allison sees the family that she won't be a part of, Cole and Louisa and all of Louisa's family, and everybody runs up. Oh, that would be kind of hard to look at. And in her point of view, this second half, this is where she kind of starts to tear up. So what do you think, Michelle? Was that because the baby, still all just because of the baby? Or do you think she felt a little bit like isolated from this family, this cool family that was, everything was there, but she wasn't a part of it?
Well, that cool family was just Louisa's family, right? I didn't see Cole's family there. I wasn't really looking for him, but I thought that was just Louisa's family. So she didn't get to be a part of that anyway, no matter what. But I thought she got upset when the kids started coming up to get in the picture. But she had the perfect opportunity there to tell Cole. When they were sitting on the beach and he's saying that about not having a baby, I mean, you don't want to, and she's probably had tons of opportunities in the weeks that she's been there with him. You don't want to ruin this wedding day for him. I mean, that's not the best time to tell him, certainly, but you don't want to ruin this for him. And it wouldn't have to change anything between him and Louisa, but he does have the right to know that. And it kills me to see her watching him hurt for something that he desperately wants, and she knows he has, and she just won't tell him. It's the most selfish thing I can possibly imagine.
So are you saying that she should have picked up the microphone after Scotty sang House of the Rising Sun and sung, like, "You're having my baby"? Or,
oh, my
I'm
gosh.
"I'm having your baby."
That might have been funny.
She goes and picks up her rock, Michelle. Now, this rock is not evidence of Scotty's murder. I'm convinced of it. Maybe Scotty took the rock with him. Maybe Allison was with him, and he was later on simply just drunkenly walking. You know, maybe she lost it out the window of a car. I don't think that rock is the smoking gun that they portray it to be when Jeffries finds the rock.
No, I mean, it's a rock. And what on earth would make them even pick up that rock walking back through there? I mean, that was kind of odd anyway.
Well,
but
he knows what those rocks look like with the names on it. They didn't show the name on it in the beginning, but he knows it's like those flat, smooth rocks. I could see him picking that up.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I can't even picture him noticing the rock. I can't picture even the writing still being legible on it after that amount of time. Maybe, depending on what they used and everything.
But, yeah, it's etched into the stone.
Oh, was it etched? I thought it was just like written.
No, I think it's kind of etched.
Well, if it's etched, that's different. But yeah, I completely agree. She could have been riding down the road and thrown it out the window. You know, oh, I don't want Cole in my life anymore, and thrown the rock out the window, anything. Or, like you said, Scotty could have taken it. He was a little obsessed.
Right. Yeah, it's not a lock that, okay, aha, we got the murderer now.
Right.
All right, so we see now Noah and Helen watching the Joni video. He's proud of Joni. He's shown it to people, shown it to Helen. And sober Scotty comes dashing in. He's dashing looking. He looks good when he's sober.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? And he talks good, you know?
He talks good?
Yeah, I mean, he's
well.
He speaks well. He talks real good. No, he does. He's engaging and compelling, and he's somebody that you'd want to talk to.
Well, Noah's on the up and up here. He pulls Allison aside. He wants her to come home, raise Joni with him, get married. He's taking a shot. I like that he took his shot here, Michelle. He's putting his opinion forward. You know, he's stating his needs. He's saying what he wants to happen. And so now, instead of Margaret wanting the video, Noah shows Allison the video, and she's troubled by it. She's really troubled by it. I guess still Noah doesn't know the paternity. This is like still the same time as I made that statement in the first half. But
Yeah, right. He doesn't know. And she's looking at Joanie, and when she looks at Joanie, and she's looking at Cole. Noah, she knows. She knows it's not Noah's, I think.
This little angel could never spring from your loins, Buster.
I don't know. He's got some cute kids, but that just doesn't happen to be one of them.
All right, so go back to the wedding vows. These wedding vows were somewhat corny, I thought.
They were good, though. They were cheesy, but come on. I mean, you know, and they didn't do that in Noah's rendition of it.
What about Cole's vow? Cole's vow, I won't make decisions without telling you first.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's exactly what Allison just did to Noah.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't catch that. That's funny.
So Allison retreats again. She's troubled, just like in the first Noah point of view. And then she sees Scotty.
Yeah, but she doesn't leave like that, though. She doesn't leave in the middle of it. Right. So that's a big deal difference right there. I mean, getting up and running out of a wedding ceremony sobbing is one thing rather than just being upset over it, I think. But
well, Rehab Scotty asked for a hug, Michelle. No one should ever ask for a hug. If the person wants to give you a hug, they'll give you a hug. You shouldn't ever ask somebody for a hug.
Okay.
I don't think. What do you think?
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I've never really thought about it. You know, I mean, I guess you just kind of go in for the hug, right?
Yeah, you invite it, and if it's, like, not there, it's not there. You don't say, you got to give me a hug. I need a hug.
Oh, right. Right.
And this time, Cole is Scotty, and Scotty's Cole here. Cole is drinking. Scotty's going back to rehab. He's been there 6 months. And Cole doesn't want to let him back in to the deal till he's out for good. So I think Cole and Scotty, for some reason, they made this point of view flip-flop. They're different personalities.
Yeah. What did you think about that? Because in the last episode, Cole was the one who told him, get clean and we'll do this. And so, of course, that's going to be what's on Scotty's mind, because what else would be on Scotty's mind the whole time he's there, right? That's what he's getting clean for. That's why he's going through this. And so, of course, he's going to say that when he comes back and be excited to talk about it. And he was not obnoxious about it. He was just saying, you know, if you want me to crunch numbers, anything I can do it from there. You just let me know. I'm so excited. It saved my life and blah, 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 right?
Yeah, I don't blame Scotty at all here. Cole fucked him over. Cole manipulated him. He says he did it because he loves him. He didn't want him to get swallowed up by drugs, but that's a pretty bad lie. And what does he think he's going to do when he finds out that he was lying to him?
Well, right, and Allison knew too, because Allison was real uncomfortable with the conversation. And then when Cole walked up, she tells Cole, Scotty's happy because of this. Scotty's saying this. And she's looking at Cole like, you got to handle this.
So Scotty freaks out and he drinks. I guess he powers down Cole's drink that he left there.
Yeah, and now that was really bad, okay? So I understand Scotty being upset and everything, but he can't take... I mean, it's not like Cole shut him out. He said, be sober for 6 months, be sober for a year, and then we'll talk about the arrangement or whatever. And the word arrangement infuriated Scotty. And then Scotty literally just starts.
Yeah, it takes nothing to push him back in. He's damaged goods for sure.
And forever. I mean, could you imagine ever trying to work with somebody like that after that, after they showed you who they were again?
So, yeah, bottoms up, he downs that whiskey. Allison tries to walk him back from the edge, but no way. And then Scotty gets super evil. Scotty slips right back into his Scotty role.
I mean, how quick was that?
He leers at Allison about Joanie. Does Cole know? And then he kind of grabs her physically, and he claims the baby as the Lockhart baby. I mean, he knows she's got to be feeling badly about this, and he's like, just smirking and being a smartass.
Yeah, he is. He's just, like, twisting the knife. I mean, it's bad.
And then black and white Oscar chimes in. No, what the hell's he doing there? What was the point of Oscar in this being right outside the doorway there?
Why would Oscar have even been at the wedding?
I know. He got muscled out of the whole deal. Maybe he's just there lurking around the perimeter of the lobster roll.
That's one of my favorite words. That's so descriptive.
Lurking?
Lurk, yeah.
Do you think he's still in that apartment somewhere?
No, he can't. Well, he can't be. It's the size of a closet, according to Noah. And Allison's staying there,
I guess. But I don't know what Oscar's doing there.
I don't either.
Okay. Noah back at the wedding. Noah's entertaining people who have told him that there's a descent tour going on right that very moment in Montauk.
Yep.
Pretty funny.
The lobster roll, the lighthouse, the docks, all that stuff. Everything. That's pretty cool. I don't think Allison was amused, but...
Scotty's into his house. He gets hold of the microphone, and he's going to sing. He actually sounds pretty good.
I really like that. Okay? I don't know how cheesy I am, but I really like... When he first started, I thought... Oh, no, first of all, I didn't know what he was going to even sing or do or what, right? And then House of the Rising Sun, I mean, and I loved that.
Not very celebratory for a wedding, though. It's not the right song for a wedding.
No, but, I mean, maybe he couldn't sing differently, you know. Maybe that was just his...
Do you think they'd let this happen at a wedding? The guy who's in just talks about being in rehab while he's holding a big glass of scotch? Drink. He's got the glass of liquor in his hand.
They wouldn't
drag him off the stage. No hook to pull him away.
Yeah. Unplug that microphone and escort drunk brother out, I would guess.
Or kill the microphone. Just unplug it. But during the song, we get the Joni's Not Your Daughter for maximum emotional impact. It has to be during the song.
I guess she mumbles it at first.
Yeah, they're trying to... Maybe she was just working up the courage, I guess.
Right. But that really rung kind of true to me. And then she turned to him and kind of had the nerve to say it aloud. And it was real different than Noah's take on it, but it was still just as impactful.
So Allison leaves... The wedding. She walks off into the Thunder Road.
Okay, walks where into was Thunder she going?
I don't know. But she walks past Scotty in the boat. Now, how does Scotty get in the boat? He was just singing, and she left him behind.
Right. And he's ahead of her, and he's there. And where is she going? She lives there.
She's taking a walk. She's just, you know.
She's taking a walk. On this windy road, in the dark, in the fog.
Thunder Road, baby.
Go.
Have a little faith. There's magic in the night. Okay. Scotty's in the boat. He wants some sexy Allison. He wants to grab Allison. First he wants her to let him into the restaurant deal, and then he wants her for herself.
He wants to
jump her.
Yeah. I mean, he was just all over the place, and I couldn't help but feel sorry for him.
But yeah, he's just frustrated and powerless. He's just a lost soul.
But he wants to be cut in. He essentially is kind of trying to, shake her down for some of the profit of the restaurant, even if she's not going to let him run it or anything?
He wants to fit in somewhere. He wants to be part of something. It's like Noah. He wants to not be alone.
I thought when he said that to her, he said, at least you can cut me in. I thought he meant he wants just to be a partner give him in it. Some money.
No, he wants to be included.
Okay.
He wants to be a partner. He wants meaning. He wants a meaning. He wants a direction.
Well, sure. And that's what he was asking with Cole, or what he was talking about with Cole. But I thought when he was talking to Allison, he just wanted the money.
He wants to be included. It was his idea to do it. It's kind of crappy but they're smart to keep him out because he's a train wreck, right? How could you ever have a guy like that in your business?
Plus, his idea was a nightclub there, and that's not what they want.
Well, karma intervenes, Michelle. It's one push, and then blammo. Scotty has another murderer. He's got one for sure, two maybe.
The car came up like a... like a Walking Dead zombie, right? I mean, they're on this pitch black road and there's no sound out there, and they didn't hear this car coming until it was literally 2 feet away from them, right? But
yeah, but it's television. I know.
But you know, it just kind of reminded me of that. You know how like on Walking Dead, you won't hear the zombie till it's like right behind you. But I don't blame her for pushing him the way he was. I mean, he was literally physically attacking her.
Yeah, she was pushing him away. She wasn't pushing him out in front of a car. She's pushing him away.
Right. And that wasn't anything that you could fault her for doing. And I was, before that happened, I was scared for her, the way as aggressive as he was coming on to her and stuff. I didn't know where that was going to lead. And I was kind of frightened for her. So I didn't at all blame her for pushing back, as physical as he was being.
Well, this time Allison's more clear to Noah, or maybe to us in the audience. She's clearly visible now on the side of the road, and she says, "I pushed him."
Mm-hmm.
But now Noah keeps this secret. Not that it matters much, but he jumps back in the car, and he jumps in the passenger seat side of the car, and Helen drives away. But he doesn't tell Helen. I just saw Allison and she pushed him. That's kind of odd. He oddly just keeps it quiet and hops in the passenger door, and they go on.
Right, so Helen's driving in this version, in Allison's version, but Noah
Helen
drove.
Was driving in Noah's version.
Yeah, but Noah drove after the wreck.
Right.
Remember, because he pulled up at Helen's parents' house.
Right.
So, but that's not what happened in this version. But Allison also saw Helen. So whatever Noah's thinking, that, I mean, Allison would have to tell them, right? If it comes down to the fact that they're going to try to blame her, she'd have to tell them what happened, right?
Well, she could always lie. She could say, "I watched Helen run over my brother-in-law. I was out there. I was taking a, you know, I had, I wanted to clear my head, and I took a walk, and I watched her run over Scotty."
But if Noah is trying to protect Helen, which is what we're seeing with this.
Yeah.
He can't protect Helen. He's not doing a very good job of it if Allison gets accused, because Allison saw Helen.
Well, unless Allison just takes it, just accepts it.
Why would she do that? She didn't do anything wrong.
Well, that's what makes this season 3 interesting, because of what is going to happen. Are they going to let Noah just take the fall? Noah's going to go to jail. He's got, you know, he's looks guilty, and now he's admitting he's guilty, even though he's not. He's going to go to jail.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I didn't like him doing that at the end. Up until that point, I was okay with it. But when he started saying, "I did it," I didn't like that.
Well, it wasn't, it's not, it's a cliffhanger, but it's a brilliant one by the writers, because it's going to make everybody want to know what happens now.
Sure.
So, back at the wedding, Allison cleans up at her restaurant now, and Noah and Allison dance. He asks her to dance so they can talk, and she asks him about the damage to the car. Now, Michelle, they can't blame this on a deer, right? That the night a person is run down, I also happen to have hit a deer. Come on, you can't keep that hidden, no matter how much you pay somebody. How much would you have to pay a mechanic in a small town or any other witness just to not say anything?
Right, and where's the deer? You know, if you hit it hard enough that you've got blood all over the front of your car, where's the deer?
Well, after this little dance, after Helen's "I love you" to Noah comes their "I love you." After this, remember, this is, well, I would... It is. It's after Helen told Noah this in this episode. So which one is stronger, Helen's to him or their shared "I love you" to each other, Noah and Allison?
Well, I really, at the end of this, I really felt Noah and Allison's connection again. I hadn't felt it really this whole season.
Yeah, so what about Helen and Noah's connection?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, and that's why I don't like what he... Because I felt that, too. But maybe not with the same passion that you feel this between Noah and Allison. I mean, I always felt a connection between Noah and Helen, didn't you? Even back when.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the same as this infatuation kind of thing that he and Allison have going on this...
Affection with Helen and Noah, not passion, but definitely passion with Allison and Noah.
Right.
They're giving each other strength when they're dancing, and however misplaced it is, they're kind of powering each other up to bolster each other up, helping each other. All right, so go back to the legal proceedings in this half. Now Michelle's washed out, of course. All his color's gone. Noah tells Allison that Gottlieb wants to put Jeffries on the stand. And here's Noah's Sophie's choice, right? Is it Helen or Allison? Who does he throw under the bus? Or nobly, when he could do the noble thing and throw himself under, and that's what he does. He stands up and takes the blame. Why do you think he took the blame?
I don't know. I don't know why he did that. The only thing I can pick, because Alice actually said to him, she said, you have to pick, meaning you're going to let Jeffries get up there and show the rock that has my name on it and get me involved where I'm going to have to be blamed or they're going to blame me for this or Helen. And he said, I can't do that. And then, did you hear what he said? He said, I can't do that to Helen. And she's like, why? And he said, because she's the mother of my children. And there was an implied, and you're not, right there.
So let's deconstruct this a little bit. So why wouldn't what we were talking about earlier? Why wouldn't three smart people? They're smart people. They're not Scotty wheeling off the edge of sanity people. They're smart. Why wouldn't these three smart people call the police right away? Tell him Scotty attacked Allison and they got into some sort of a fight and she pushed him away. And just unfortunately, as the car was going by.
Right. And he stumbled out in the middle of the road when she pushed him and he got hit. I don't know.
Like what you said, Noah wants to take the fall. He could just say, hey, I was driving. I'm sorry, but it was an accident. I shouldn't have been driving because I had too much to drink. He'd have to deal with that. But they could probably make that fly.
Well, yeah, I mean, if all three of them were saying the exact same thing, which would have been the truth. I mean, you know, just tell the truth and it wouldn't have turned into that, you know? I mean, they had somebody looking for Scotty's killer for months, and driving off and leaving a body there is a big, big deal. So.
All right, so Michelle, which of these scenarios do you buy? If Helen hadn't been driving while she's drunk, Scotty would still be alive.
No, I don't think so. I think Noah would have hit him. And Noah grabbing her hand distracted her, right? Because she's driving and he reaches over and puts his hand on top of her hand. And she looked at him, you know? She was like, I don't know if that's what I would have said, but yeah.
Yeah, so by the way, I found these on somebody's review. I'm sorry, I should know because I'm copying their idea. So the next one is, if Noah hadn't left the wedding to get drunk and then let his drunk ex-wife drive, Scotty would still be alive.
I don't think so.
If Cole had just let Scotty continue believing for that night that he could be a partner in the restaurant, Scotty would still be alive.
Yes, I believe that.
But that's not a very sound plan.
Well, it's as sound as him doing it at the beginning, right? Because he said that at the beginning.
It would have worked, but it's not a very fair thing to do to Scotty.
No, absolutely not.
All right, and this one, if Allison had not confessed to Noah about Joni sending him off to get drunk and then resulting in her need for a late night stroll, Scotty would still be alive.
Well, Okay, but I think we're kind of stretching it a little bit there, right? If Allison hadn't slept with Cole, you know, 18 months plus 9 months ago, then Scotty would still be alive.
Well, the final one is, if Scotty wasn't a mess of a person who resorted to blackmail and rape when he didn't get his way, then Hugh would still be alive.
I would say yeah to that one.
So who's going to visit Noah in prison?
You think Noah's going to go to prison?
Well, what else? He's just admitted it. He can't.
Unadmitted?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, is that even admissible? Can you do that? Can you just stand up and say that?
He did.
I don't know. Yeah, but I kind of think they might try to work something legally out about that. I don't know. But I don't know what he was thinking letting Jeffries go up there. Ms. Trial is
going to say, ooh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't think he's going to end up in prison because that's not... I don't know. How would that further the story? So next season, he's in prison.
Yeah, it's like Oz.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. So what do you think, Michelle? This is the end of this episode and season two. What do you think? There's got to be some sort of a play here. It can't just be no more. It can't be continuing on with this trial stretched endlessly.
Yeah, Well, I mean, I guess there's not much more to the trial, right? Because Jeffrey's going up there and telling that was kind of like Godfrey said, it was the Hail Mary play. So the trial's kind of over. But I don't really know where we're going to go with this. I mean, he can't just say, yeah, I did it, and not say how he did it, right? Or what he was doing out there. So I'm just not real sure what kind of cover up he's going to try to do. And
I don't think this murder of Scotty is the point. I don't think it matters in the plot of season three. What matters in season three is what's going to happen with Allison and Noah, Cole and Allison, you know, this baby and the life of Helen and Cole and Noah and all that. It doesn't really matter about Scotty anymore.
Well, and, somebody on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I've completely been blank in the name. It's been a week, but was asking, where is Louisa in court, and why is she not there?
She's running the restaurant, Michelle. It's during the lunch hour.
Is that what it is? I don't know. I mean, do you really think that's what it is? I mean, Louisa's not there.
Is Cole there?
Cole's there.
Yeah, I don't know. They could just say, Noah could just say, you know, it was me. I was afraid to admit it, but it was me. And they just say, okay, dude, you did a hit and run. You know, he could probably get away from not being in a vehicular manslaughter because he was drunk. Just say, yeah, it was me. It was an accident. I was afraid to admit it. And then Allison could step up and say, well, he's not really all to blame because I got to admit I was there with Scotty and he moved, advanced on me and threatened me and I had to push him away. And it's really not all Noah's. I mean, they could still bring this story out.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing just sucks so bad, right? Because they were both intoxicated and should not have been driving a car. But that's not why they hit him. It didn't appear from what they showed.
That's why it doesn't matter. All that matters is what Noah and Allison and Helen think about each other. Because if they all want to buy in and go along with it, you know, Noah could probably get off relatively lightly.
Allison, do you think at this point...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I just think that they should have told the truth, of course, from the get-go. And then,
so what's Noah going to say? He blurts out, it was me, I did it. Okay.
Well, I don't know that he's lying anyway. He's perjuring himself right there.
So what's going to happen? So they're going to say, oh, okay, case dismissed against whoever we thought did it. It's you. No, they thought he did it. So... you know, they're just going to go ahead and but there's reasons, right? There's reasons why he ran over Scotty, and Allison and Helen can help him with that if they choose to. That's the part of season three that's interesting. Who will choose to help him, and who will choose to, either remain silent or maybe say negative things that disparage him from right. getting a favorable decision.
Right.
Because if it all came out, it was me, I did it, and then Allison says what I said, you know, yeah, I had to push Scotty away, he was moving on me. That lets Noah off the hook. It's more of an accident than a murder.
Yeah, except for the fact that he's lied about it. I mean, how would you even believe that? You know, we've seen it now.
That's what it is, no matter what. They can't back out of that. They've not stepped up and admitted it. He only admitted it when somebody else was going to get the blame for it.
Yeah, but it's still a lie. I mean, still he's not telling the truth. And what was Noah doing there, going down that road?
It doesn't matter. I got mad at the wedding. I drove away mad. It doesn't matter. Why would that matter?
I don't know. But and you know, then that means that Helen would have to.
I was giving Helen a ride home.
Well, you
say that.
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen. I'm a come clean fan. Come clean with it. Tell them what happened. Tell them why you didn't tell them to begin with, and try to handle it in that way, which they should have done.
Coming clean is Helen did it. Noah stands up. I got to admit the absolute truth. Helen did it. That's not going to happen now. That may come out in the wash in the long run, but that's not the direction they're taking.
Right. But, you know, I mean, Helen did do it.
Right.
And how can Helen live with this? That's another thing.
Maybe she won't. Maybe she'll kill herself.
Oh, my.
Well, what is going to happen in season three? I'm trying to get you to, you know, project, and you're all saying, oh, that's not going to happen. That's silly. That won't happen.
I don't know that season three, who knows? Who knows? Because they didn't really give us any teasers on season three like they did on the last episode of season one. For season two, they showed us the future. Maybe it's after the fact in season three and everything's worked out and they're flashing, in place of flashing forward to the trial, they're flashing back to the trial and what happened or something.
Hmm. I don't know. I think Noah and Allison are passionate, but I don't see them sticking together. And maybe Noah and Helen are affectionate, but I don't see them sticking together either. And I don't.
Well,
they're
passionate sometimes, and then sometimes she's saying congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, do you see Helen or do you see Noah and Allison together?
I don't know. These writers are they're really good. I mean, this writing in this episode was. The twists and stuff was nothing I could have ever... We could have never, never guessed what they were going to put. So, guessing is just beyond what... They're smarter than me. And I know anything I guess is not going to be probably...
You're just being hard on yourself. Advanced. Nobody guessed. Nobody figured this out. It's interesting. Go into Reddit and just read the... Prior, you know, 30 minutes prior to the final episode, all the final guesses and final prognostication. You got some crazy ass shit in there, man. People, I don't even remember them, but it's just insanity. You know, that what's his name? Martin's going to commit suicide in front of everybody because he tried to hang himself with the rope that time. It's crazy. I mean, everybody was wrong. Nobody guessed that it was Helen driving the car and Allison pushing the guy out in front of Helen driving the car. I mean, the two spurned women are, I guess Helen was spurned, but I don't know. Nobody would ever pick this the way it turned out. So I give congratulations to the writers for pulling that off. And it does make me want to see what is going to happen next year and wonder how it's all going to turn out.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely put a great twist to the story and, really, like I said at the beginning, they've really led this in a direction that I didn't think they could. I couldn't figure out how they could. And so it really does open up. It just opens the future of the show up so wide, right? Because they can do anything now.
Well, I was kind of waiting for this to be over. Like, okay, it's finally over. And now I'm like still drawn. Like I said, I'm drawn back into it. Like, oh, right. God, I got to know what happens now.
Yeah, they did really good. I don't know, it got kind of slow. I agreed with you a little bit. I still really liked it. I liked the story, but it got, I can see how it would be viewed as slow right in the middle, you know, like maybe episode 3 and 4 or whatever. But it's really picked back up, I felt like. And then I thought they knocked it out of the park with this one.
All right, Michelle, 212, it's a wrap. That's all we got for the season. Got any final thoughts?
Nope, I don't think so. Nope, that's it.
Just remember, life's a flat circle.
A flat circle?
Or a circle.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
It's very Sisyphusian and what's his name, Ian, from True Detective? Rustcolian. Okay. Rustcolian.
Rustcolian. is that our new euphemism for something thoughtful?
Yeah, Noah getting back with Helen, reminiscing, Allison with Cole, reminiscing. And who knows? Who knows where this... That's the interesting part. Where does that circle spin out?
And where is Louisa?
Who cares about Louisa? That's another great question.
Well, because it matters, right? Because it matters to what... I mean...
Not to me. I don't think it's a major plot point.
Does Cole know at the trial that that's his baby? See, we don't even know that.
I don't really care about that. It's Allison, Cole. It's Allison, Noah, and Helen are the three horses of the apocalypse. It's those three people that this thing's zeroed in on. Do you really care about Cole?
Yeah, I care about Cole. I care. I mean, he's a major part of this plot, I think. I mean, he's Scotty's brother, and he's he's Allison's ex-husband, and the father of her child that she had after she had the affair on him. Yeah, I think he's got a pretty big role in it. I don't know. I think there could definitely be some plot twists with Cole. I don't think they're going to push Cole out, but I think it might say something about what's going to happen about with Louisa not being in court, maybe.
Yeah, I don't care about
because
Cole
she might.
Louisa.
Well, she might be mad, or she might have, you know, left because.
Yeah, well, so what? She had a right
to. Because she finds out about the, you know, that Cole had the baby.
You screwed another woman and you're a father while I was dating you. She was dating him then, right?
I think she was, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
All right, Michelle, I keep trying to kill off this ember, but you keep fanning it back to life.
My bad.
All right, so we'll see you next year, Michelle, on The Affair. All right, Michelle from TN and at Scathing Tweets. Yep. And if you have anything you want to say, say it, because now is your time. All right, Michelle, so that's it for 212 and the second season of The Affair. See you next year.
Okay, I hope you have a good Christmas, Mike.
You too, Michelle.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Why did you do me? Why did you get done? And all the misery. You were an easy one. How did we get here?
We took the slow way.
Or do you love me?
What am I supposed to say?
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
This probably. How about you?
I've done a lot of things.
We fell into the
sometimes the way you love somebody, it can change.
I don't want her anywhere near my kids.
Your mom and I, we're getting a divorce.
Why?
That's very complicated. How have you been, Allison?
I don't think you should be here. I think you should leave.
Tell me how to sleep.
Helen, what's going on? This is insane.
Why are you being so awful?
I just thought maybe I could come up here and bring you your stuff and maybe clear the air.
You have a family.
I know I did. Stop it!
I think we're making a terrible mistake.
Don't say that.
other people's lives are at stake here besides your own.
I want nothing from him.
At a certain point, fate takes over a story. And even the author himself loses control.
I didn't kill Scott Lockhart.
Well, we gotta find out who did.